Welcome to the Darlington Extra podcast channel, working with communities, staff and partners to provide positive outcomes.
Over the next few episodes, the Creative Life Storywork podcast will go on tour and we'll be at the Darlington Extra staff conference in Newton Aycliffe. And this means we'll have the opportunity to speak to a number of people who've been key to the delivery of Creative Life Storywork. It also means you'll get to sample a bit of the conference atmosphere as well. We began by chatting to Phil, Charlotte and Joe about how staff carve out time and space to develop tools for life story work conversations. I wondered if by way of introduction, because I've heard on the grapevine that some of you are changing roles quite soon, whether you would like to introduce yourselves and say a bit what your role is in terms of delivery of life story work or delivery to children and young people in Darlington. Phil, would you like to go first?
Yeah, thanks, Dawn. My name's Phil Austin. I was an advanced practitioner in the looked after and through care team, and I will soon be moving to be the team manager in the fostering and supported lodgings team within Darlington, so really excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Charlotte.
Hi, so I'm Charlotte Swainston, so I am currently a social worker in the assessment and safeguarding team for Darlington Borough Council, recently been appointed as the therapeutic social worker as well, ready to move over very soon. In terms of life story work, so for myself over the last couple of, the last year really, I've been doing an expert in practice role, which is focused on looking at creative life story work in Darlington, trying to see, you know, how that runs, what we've got to offer and how we can develop that a little bit more. My main focus recently has been within the assessment and safeguarding team, but definitely looking to see how else we could progress as well within the therapeutic side as well.
Thank you, Charlotte. And Joe.
Hi, so my name is Joseph Robb. I'm service manager for Looked After Resources. So that includes our educare team, our family group conference team, our residential homes, fostering service and the therapeutic service. So I've been working with Blue Cabin on various projects, including our music making project for our babies, and also on strengthening and driving forward the life story work. So the therapeutic team offer the therapeutic life story work, and then also looking at how we use all the other elements within supporting social care colleagues with those.
Fantastic. So already I'm getting a sense of a team where you're building connections amongst team members and possibly the staff delivering that as well. And I'm wondering, perhaps Charlotte, you might talk a bit about some of the research that's underpinning that supports maybe the training needs or the leading into the delivery of the practitioners that you're working with.
Absolutely. So far within the expert in practice training that I've been undertaking, I've done a specific module with Sunderland University looking at research in practice. So we've actually had a go at creating our own research, identifying specific areas that we wanted to look into and running with that. So I've been able to now apply that within Darlington. So we've been able to do some lower level research with staff members individually to look at what their needs are, what their level of comfortability is with life story work, trying to see the procedural side of that as well. And we've been trying to apply that to then look at further training needs and look at how else we can build and develop the life story work that we've got within Darlington. The area that I've focused on more recently has been with the adoption and when children have been given permanence as well by a special guardianships or kinship care. So that's definitely an area within the assessment and safeguarding team that we've been focusing on, and that's something that we would like to develop a little bit more as well, so that staff feel confident when they're doing the life story workbooks, later in life letters.
Thank you. That's a huge amount, huge amount. And Joseph, in order for all of that to happen, where and how do you support your staff in terms of reflection spaces? Because that's a huge amount of provocation and input that Charlotte's talking about there. And I'm wondering, how do you carve out the space for your staff to...
To have that time and space. So alongside this, our therapeutic service have also been offering some DDP awareness sessions, so looking at sort of playfulness, acceptance, empathy, and also offer therapeutic reflective spaces as well. So we are conscious of ensuring that the therapeutic service holds a small percentage of younger children to do that therapeutic life story work, but using something called a thinking space as a reflective opportunity where colleagues, social work colleagues, early help colleagues will come and say, we are presented with this issue, or we're just not sure where to go here. Sometimes they believe in that it needs to be the therapeutic team that needs to take that work on, but actually supporting them and giving them the confidence through that reflective space for them to deliver that work. They've got the relationship, and having that as an ongoing process so that they book back into ongoing, which is outside of their normal case supervision reflection, but it's purely a focus on that family or that specific issue.
Goodness, I'm trying to imagine what the jigsaw of possibilities are in trying to ensure that that happens, because that's not an easy task, is it, to get that in place, but vital.
Vital
for thinking and learning.
Yeah, and part of that, so we are expanding that air service, so we have additional workers who've come in there. So two of our therapeutic workers are currently doing this certificate.
So they are supporting Richard.
So they are supporting to give us extra capacity for those conversations to take place.
Very good. And Phil, might be a hard question for you, but I'm just thinking about you as somebody new coming into the... Somebody working in Darlington for a while already, but new coming into this service. What are some of the skills that you think you need in your toolbox in order to step into the role that you're about to go into? It's not an interview question. You've got the job.
It feels like it, yeah. And I don't think I'd have got the job if I'd been asked that one. But I think it's a really good question. I think as social workers, sometimes, life story work gets bandied about a lot, and we discuss it a lot. And I think actually, some of the training and some of the work that we've done has helped a lot of us as social workers to understand that a bit more, to actually give us practical tools to go out and a framework, I think, to undertake that work. Because I think, again, social workers did find it quite daunting, and worried sometimes about doing the wrong thing. And although it's something I think there's a real passion to go out there and do the work, I think we are feeling more equipped and more supported by some of the training, but also the therapeutic support that's in place. And I think one of the things moving into my new role as the fostering team manager is about the foster carers starting to deliver some of the All About Me work with the young people. And I think this is so important, because I think they're best placed actually to start doing some really good work with young people. And again, we know from the research, and the earlier we start that work and start to engage young people in life story work, we know the outcomes for young people are much better. They can learn from that, and it supports where they're living and it supports their placement. So again, I think a big part of my role will be around supporting the foster carers in their training and embedding life story work and embedding the All About Me booklet and work with the young people within Darlington and within Darlington placements.
Can I come in on that as well, Phil?
Of course.
Because I think sometimes we can get caught up with language we use. So we talk about life story work and people think we're doing something different. And it's about, how do we normalise that language, that actually the stuff you're doing now is your life story work. The art of it is, how do we analyse that? How do we pull that together to make it meaningful in whatever journey that child's on, whether they're at home, they're coming into care, or, we're looking at permanence. And I think some of our challenges has been to normalise that behaviour, so social workers have the confidence that what they do, their direct work, is life story work.
Yeah, I agree. And I think from being here today and listening to Richard again, some of the advantages, I think, for the foster carers, where these children going to live in, is understanding that child better, understanding perhaps some of the reasons and some of their experiences that have led to the behaviour. And again, it was so powerful today to hear how foster carers potentially and social workers interpret some of those behaviours and are scared and are frightened of that, you know. And actually, by understanding that and engaging young people with our support in these conversations, I think will help us to support the children and support their placement. I think it's potentially really life-changing kind of stuff without being too overdramatic.
Just so lovely to hear you talking about it in such a holistic manner, for all of the parts of your service coming together. Joseph, you mentioned before the project with babies. This is the place that you're working on. I wondered, because that seems to almost be the very start of life story work with those babies and those foster carers and potentially adoptive parents coming in as well. I wondered if you wanted to say something about that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think what it's allowed us to do is empower some of the carers. So it's had a lot of unintentional consequences. It's created a support network for the foster carers with that common understanding, and actually bringing together those baby carers who might have had some concerns, and then create that network. But what we have found is that some of those rhythmic noises has supported after contact, so or family time. So after some, maybe when a child or a baby has become quite unregulated, the carers have played the music and sung the songs, and that's supported in terms of that emotional stability for that child. But what's been really powerful is that we actually had a child who's moving on to adoption, and what was beautiful is that with permission of the group, the adopter and the baby's future sister and brother come into that group, and actually were engaged in that, and then they took a song bag away with them, and we understand that that is still being used now. We also had something called baby opera, so opera in the park over the summer. We actually used some of those sounds in some of the opera, and actually we are finding that for one child, it's actually supporting their development in speech and tone. So it's actually having a bigger consequence or a bigger impact than we had believed. But what we're also seeing is that those babies are now actually feeling more content, and it's part of their, it's what they come to expect now, and that they're not, a lot more relaxed. Other carers can come and interact with the child in a different way. We had babies who were sort of fearful of new faces, and it's supported them in terms of their own emotional stability as well. So it's been absolutely wonderful.
It's just such fun. And talking to Lucy, who manages that project, we were laughing at the thought that one of the unexpected successes of the workshop, it's never been usually when all the participants fall asleep. That's the sign of a great workshop. That doesn't ever come out in any of the others before, with all of them having their bottles and then falling asleep, which we just were laughing, thinking we never see that written anywhere before.
No, exactly. And some of the next stages around how do we use our family time workers to look at some of those and support the parents as well. So birth parents who were coming to family time, using that as a means of them engaging, which actually is evidence for them in terms of any assessment work going on. But also, you know, sometimes, I don't know, singing up, but some fathers feel a bit apprehensive or a bit nervous. How do we empower them to create that connection with the baby as well? Because that's then familiar for that baby.
Yeah. So, Joseph, you're seamlessly moving into my next question there, which is in terms of next steps for creative life story work in Darlington for all of your roles, really. Charlotte, what about you in terms of your research and practice? What might the next steps be?
So what we'll be looking at doing is trying to create and deliver some training for staff members, specifically around certain areas. So looking at the research that we've done, where it's been identified as those areas that people lack that confidence in, and they've identified that that's an area that they would like further support with. So we need to create some evidence-based research around how that's going to be and how we can upskill the workers that we've got, and then that will hopefully be rolled out on a regular basis as well. Looking at developing tools as well, so that we've got the workbooks, and also making sure that staff members are aware around how to do direct work with children effectively and build those relationships up. And I think just continuing to have that relational discussion with everybody involved as well, so that we're always aware of what we need to improve on and what we may need to adapt along the way as well.
Yeah. Fantastic. Phil, what yours might just be what your hopes are, I suppose, given that you're not really even in post yet.
Well, no, my hope or my plan.
Your plan.
My plan is that we will roll out All About Me to the foster carers, that we will have a policy and a procedure, that we will be training and supporting the foster carers. And I think again, it's a big cultural change, because I think there's always the thought that this is work done by social workers or by another. So I think, you know, there is going to need to be a lot of support, but we will provide that support. And I think we're going to learn a lot along the way, you know, but I think it's a really positive step in the right direction. I think it's going to be really good for the young people in our foster placements. I think it's really positive.
I'm Joseph.
So I think we've got various strands. So we are looking at this is the place, the music making for babies. We're looking to see how we can use that within our early help service, our building stronger families, how we use some of those tools to upskill some of the workers. Equally, we are looking, as I mentioned there, around our family time, using the PACE model of parenting as alongside the music to make that more meaningful for the parents and the children. Charlotte's is currently quite instrumental in supporting us in the shaping the policy and procedures around so social workers, early help workers can actually pick up this and understand, well, what does it mean and how do I do that? Creating a resource for depending on the age of the child, so that social workers have this resource that they can go to, and then how do you analyse that? So what does that mean next? And then also us being more self-sufficient with this. I think we've had support from Richard Rose for the last, now this is our second, third years. So how do we own this as Darlent now? How do we make it our own?
Let's go to a break now so that you can hear about our Creative Life Story Work membership offer.
We want people to gain more of an understanding about what it's like to be care experienced and to have a better understanding of what it actually means.
Could Creative Life Story Work make a difference to the care-experienced children and young people you work with? Maybe you're a social worker.
I think we forget at our peril that actually telling a child the story of their early life is one of the most profound uses of social work power that we could ever operate.
Perhaps you're a foster carer.
You know, when they say it's all about the child, it's not, because our experiences, it's about the carer and the child. And it just gives a new angle to our relationship because we're learning about each other together.
A Creative Life Story Work membership will give you or your whole team access to resources, including activities you can use in direct work with children and young people, training with Life Story Work experts, and lots more.
And I think a lot of our children are looking for meaning, looking for, you know, well, why is it I feel this way when my friends don't? Why is it I get angry internally and my friends don't? The greatest thing we see is when we are able to say to young people, this is your story, this is about who you are. And then children towards the end say, it's not my fault that these things happened, but it is something that I can do something about. And once we have that, then we know we can move forward.
Find out about our membership for individuals and for organisations on our website, creativelifestorywork.com.
A big thank you to everyone at Darlington Borough Council who chatted to us during the Darlington Extra Conference. Whether you're a foster carer, someone who has experience with the care system, or you work with children and young people, we hope this episode has given you an insight into how we can make Life Story Work better for young people and how you can use it in your own practice.
You've been listening to the Darlington Extra podcast on our Darlington Extra podcast channel. For more great content, make sure you subscribe now.